Welcome to the worship service of Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street, Pea Ridge, Arkansas. We hope this message will provide both meaning and inspiration for your life. Listen now for today's message.
Our call to worship. For God so loved the world, the sparrows, the mountain lions, the fish, and the people. For God so loved the world, in success and failure, in sickness and health, in mediocrity and extraordinary. For God so loved the world, enough to become one of us, enough to suffer along with us, enough to offer new life for us. For God so loved the world. Let us worship God together.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my guide. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross, and I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin.
Our affirmation of faith is the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, from thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our first scripture reading comes from the book of Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, verses 1 through 13. But now thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Bring forth the people who are blind, yet have eyes, who are deaf, yet have ears. Let all the nations gather together, and let the peoples assemble, who among them declared this, and foretold us to the former things. Let them bring their witness to justify them, and let them hear and say, it is true. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me, no God was formed, nor shall there be any after me. I am the Lord, and besides me, there is no Savior. I declared and saved and proclaimed when there was no strange God among you, and you are my witnesses, says the Lord. I am God, and also henceforth I am He. There is no one who can deliver from my hand. I work, and who can hinder it?
For sin and open the life gate that all
If you have your Bibles this morning, join me as we read our scripture text from the third chapter of the Gospel of John, verses 9 through 18. Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. This is the word of God given for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God." In our text today, we find Nicodemus, who earlier in the chapter was questioning Jesus about matters of faith, namely about being born again. Jesus has patience with Nicodemus, a teaching moment, if you will, and reminds him that he's teaching about faith when he doesn't seem to believe in what he's preaching. He then goes on to remind him that in order to have eternal life, the Son of Man must be lifted up. Now we get to the crux of our message today, a verse that Christians young and old know, and it's one of the very first that we tend to memorize. That's John 3:16, and we're going to add verse 17 in as well. I'm going to read it now from the New Revised Standard. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." There are 31,102 verses in the Christian Bible. Of course, as a preacher, minister, pastor, disciple, and servant of Christ, I love them all. But John 3:16 and 17 has a very personal space in my heart. You see, my grandfather was a very special man. He was the third child of seven born to migrant workers. The family, they moved around so much that not one of their seven children was born in the same state. California, Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Mississippi. If there was a crop to pick, my family, they were there. As such, my grandfather and the two older siblings didn't go to school beyond the sixth grade. They were there working hard for their mom and dad and the rest of the family. And then when my grandfather married my grandmother, he continued to work hard to provide for his wife and five children. He hadn't had any health issues since he quit smoking back in 1962, so his only regular appointment was with the eye doctor at Bozeman Hof in Rogers so that he could continue to drive. At the age of 70, he started having some falling issues while on the lake with my dad's younger brother. Grandpa, he sure was sure that everything was going to be okay and that maybe he just needed to go home and take a nap. He did like naps. And so he went home and he lay down. He slept into the evening, only to awaken my grandmother at 3 a.m. to ask her to drive him to the hospital. So he arrived at St. Mary's, now Mercy Medical Center in Rogers, and they found a tumor the size of a small orange in his brain. The tumor, of course, had to be removed and would be done at Washington Regional in Fayetteville. So they transferred him there, and after the transfer, as they were waiting to take him back, an old friend of his who came to visit when he heard that my grandfather was in the hospital, he asked him if he knew Jesus as his Savior. And my grandfather, he looked at the brother and he looked him in the eye and he said, "I have done things in my life that are no good. Jesus doesn't want me." That little Free Will Baptist friend of mine and of his told him about God's love and of the miracles that Christ performed. But the deciding factor was when he shared John 3:16 and 17 and then made it more personal. "For God so loved Bert that he gave his only son, Jesus." Bert, that world that the verse talks about, that is you. My grandfather prayed to accept Jesus as his very own that Wednesday, June the 2nd, 1999. We didn't know if he would come out of surgery or if he did, that he would have been able to make a decision like that knowingly.
But I praise God that he did indeed survive the surgery. In fact, when I went in to see him in recovery a couple of hours after the surgery, he told me, "Go dig up some worms, because I'm ready to go fishing." Sadly, Grandpa never got to go fishing again, nor did he ever go home. He ended up dying while doing his morning walk with the physical therapist a few moments before my grandmother arrived for the day about 3 weeks later. Even though it's painful to think about for me, it's also very exciting in that I know where he is and to whom he belongs. If it wasn't for a man who hadn't seen him in maybe 40 years to ask him about his relationship with Jesus, the end of his story would likely be very different. A different outcome for a man who always put his family and his neighbors first. A man who worked 7 days a week to feed his growing brood, yet loved his kids enough to make certain that they made it to the Pleasant Grove Church to go to Sunday school, to church services and Bible camp, because that was important to him. A man that I caught on numerous occasions reading a Bible that sat on the table next to his living room chair. But that man, he wasn't worthy. I know that there are some Christian denominations that are very rigid. They teach that only the righteous will enter heaven. I'm sure that sometime in Grandpa's life, he was told that he wasn't worthy. He resigned himself to that, but wanted the very best for his family. This world, even Christians in this world, can be very cruel. Oftentimes, this cruelty comes due to a lack of understanding. Folks mean well, but their delivery, the way the message is presented, falls short to the point of negativity. That said, I want to read you verse 16 again. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life." I've attended college for longer than I would ever like to recount, and I've attained several advanced degrees and years of experience in comprehending what is written and spoken. But you do not have to have a college education or even any formal schooling to know that when someone uses the phrase "everyone," the meaning is all. Jesus gave his life so that all might have eternal life. As a Christian, it's hard to fathom that concept of all, isn't it? When we think about the people who speed down the highway, breaking every law, did Jesus die for them? All means all. Those who cheat on their taxes or who do everything possible to not pay what is owed. All means all. What about folks who are in same-sex relationships? Jesus didn't mean them, did he? All means all. The man or woman who cheats on his or her spouse. All means all. The single parent who keeps having child after child. All means all. Those who abuse their children or abuse older people. All means all. What about men who rape women? All means all. Folks who kill the innocent. All means all. What about the Baptists, the Catholics, the Presbyterians? All means all. Can't mean the Jews, the Muslims, and the Buddhists, can it? All means all. All also includes the pagans, the Wiccans, the atheists, and even those who follow the flying spaghetti monster. The liars, the cheats, the murderers, the adulterers, the idolaters, the cowards, the brave, the young, the old, the gay, the straight, the Democrats, Republicans, socialists, communists, red, yellow, black, white, brown, and those with purple polka dots, bald, hairy, and those in between. All means all. Oh yeah, I might have missed someone. In case I haven't mentioned it, all means you too. You don't have to be perfect. Actually, being imperfect is a requirement. All you need is to realize that you cannot do this on your own, and you certainly need a Savior to forgive you of your sins. After all, Jesus finds that we are worthy of his forgiveness. We are worthy of his grace. Romans 3:21-23 from the New Revised Standard says, "But now, apart from law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed and is attested by the law and the prophets, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. They are now justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forth as a sacrifice of atonement by His blood, effective through faith. He did this to show His righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He had passed over the sins previously committed. It was to prove at the present time that He Himself is righteous and that He justifies the one who has faith in Jesus." There is only one way out of this human predicament, namely justification by faith to all who believe. The all who is justified freely in 3:24 is the same all who in 3:22 is defined as all who believe. This justification is a free gift of the grace of God made possible through the redemption that was accomplished through Jesus Christ. Redemption, paying the price of our salvation, makes it possible for God to justify freely only those who believe in Jesus. Not only does Jesus give His all for all, but He also moves us from the state of sin to a state of grace. Ephesians 2:1-9 says, "You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses, and we were by nature children of wrath, like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. For by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast." Friends, grace is not something that we can attain on our own, nor is sin something that we can overcome on our own. That's why we need someone to literally bail us out. We needed a Savior. God knew that His Jesus would be willing to foot the bill for us all. Won't you accept this free gift this morning? After all indeed means all. Let us pray. Dear God, thank You for sending Your Son to come to earth to live the life that I could not live, be the example I could not achieve, be the sacrifice for my sins. I believe in You. I ask for Jesus to be the Lord of my life, and I commit my life to You today. I believe with my being that I am the all that You seek, the all that You desire, the all that You gave Your life for. I thank You for being my Savior, what I needed very most in this world. I pray this in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
listening to today's message. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church is a home for people of all backgrounds and ages. We rejoice in each new person that comes our way. Our goal is to enable you to make faith in God a vital part of your everyday life by creating an environment where worship is meaningful and uplifting, where teaching from the Bible is relevant to life situations, where friendships are significant and prayer is practiced as a continuing communication with God. Are you looking for a church? Between churches? Perhaps burned out on church? Come give our church a try. We are Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street in Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Find us on Facebook, and our web address is pearidgeumc.net. Or you can call Pastor Jeremy Gross at 479-553-9585. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, anchored in the past, moving toward the future, making disciples for Christ along the way.